Good morning, everyone. Today is the 28th of March. It's Tuesday. It's a Tuesday early afternoon. We're running a little behind. I'm going to have Mark start. We're going to start a different little project this morning. With all the craziness going on with the transgender, or you know, the LGBTQI, whatever it is, and now we have a girl who said she was a man killing 7 people, including herself. Well, I guess she didn't kill herself, but anyway, she got killed. She killed 6 people in a Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm here to tell everyone that this whole movement is absolutely insane, and it's not going to get any better in our culture. And they absolutely hate Christians because they're coming against the Word of God and its rebellion, and God's turned them over to a reprobate mind. And so I'm going to have Mark, we're going to start reading through Phillips versus the State of Missouri. If you haven't heard about the case, 25 years ago, I refused to license and place children with homosexual foster parents, and we brought a lawsuit against the Attorney General of the United States for wrongful termination of my refusal of doing so, and we won that case in a federal court in Kansas City. Now I'm going to have Mark begin reading. He's going to read the foreword in the book. Now the foreword actually was written by one of the attorneys from Jay Sekulow's organization, Francis Mannion, from the American Center for Law and Justice. He was the top attorney on the case, and he did the foreword in the book. Now I don't agree with Francis Mannion's Roman Catholicism at all, and I've let him know that. So just so you know, I don't agree with that. So I'm going to turn this over to Mark, have him read the foreword in the first chapter of the book. Just leave it there. Here's the book. Just leave it there and read the foreword in the first chapter.
Foreword from First Printing. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Isaiah 5:20. For those of us who grew up in the days when the racist thing on television was Aunt B's budding romance with an itinerant handyman from Mount Pilot, story told on these pages seems at first like it might have happened on a different planet. How far we have fallen in such a short time is evidenced by the story of Larry Phillips' courageous, often lonely battle against the state of Missouri. Not long ago in this country, it was assumed that part of government's role was to promote good moral behavior. Good moral behavior was generally deemed to be behavior consistent with the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule. In other words, those widely confused and accepted standard of Judeo-Christian morality which underlay most of our criminal laws and social customs. For all those who founded this country, those who watered the tree of liberty with their blood, those who tamed the wilderness and guided the plows, broke the plains, were in agreement with the man they did not hesitate to call the father of his country, who in his farewell speech upon retiring from public life said of all the dispositions and habits was led to political prosperity, religion, and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Our time, the measure of our depravity, is seen in cases like this, in which a man was harassed and hounded out of his government job for being the words of his government supervisor. Too religious. In what way was Larry Phillips too religious? Did he insist on reading his Bible out loud in the office? Knowing some of his co-workers, did he harangue his fellow social workers with his old-fashioned beliefs about God? No. What Phillips did was politely inform his superiors that because of religious beliefs, he could not in good conscience endorse licensing of homosexuals as foster parents, not only was this against his religious beliefs, Phillips believed in the state of Missouri for sustaining his religious objection, even though the agency could easily accommodate Phillips' wish not to be assigned in such cases. Superiors recommended that Phillips be fired. The situation worsened, and shortly after that, Phillips complained about a piece of vile, obscene educational literature aimed at teenagers, describing for them how they could safely engage in every sexual practice and perversion known to man. And then some, the supervisor involved was the head of the local homosexual activist group ACT UP, was on record describing himself as a near-faced queer who gets angry every day. These were the actions deemed by Phillips' supervisors to make him too religious to work for the Missouri Department of Social Services. These pages, Larry recounts his long struggle for some measure of justice, which is a struggle in which I was privileged to represent him in the courts along with him in the table, Presidential Don Nielsen, a Kansas City attorney, U.S. first recognized the importance of Larry's case, who shared the burdens of the battle at great personal and professional risk. The state fought us tenaciously every step of the way, going to the Court of Appeals three times in the course of the litigation, subjecting Larry to it at time. Ludicrous three-day deposition, titled itself a nail biter, the jury deliberated for nearly 3 days before returning a verdict in Larry's favor. Most gratifying was the post-verdict dressing down the state administrator, the Clinton-appointed trial judge, to urge Missouri to educate its employees about the right of religious freedom, and who in the post-trial opinion referred to what Larry went through as persecution. Now that the case is over and looking at the bigger picture, what is most amazing is the magnitude of revolution we have lived through and are living through. We have, in a very short time, gone from society in which the government saw its role as promoting what we call Christian moral standards, though a period when the government avoided being judgmental or moralistic, to which we now find ourselves. The government, even in relatively conservative places like Missouri, actively promoting, encouraging, and subsidizing the kind of grossly moral behavior which a generation ago would have landed its practitioners in jail. Senators like Larry Phillips merely affirmed the old values were shut up and cast out. Do cases like this make any difference in the long run, or are we too far gone in our cultural rotting? God only knows. We only know that we are charged with running the race and fighting the good fight, 2 Timothy 4:7-8. If we do that, we are promised the crown of righteousness. That's all well and good, but in the meantime, I won't forget the privilege of running this race with the likes of Todd Nielsen, or fighting this fight with a brave comrade in arms like Larry Phillips, with brave, tenacious souls like Larry still out there. It's possible to be completely without hope. Francis J. Mannion, American Center for Law and Justice, New Hope, Kentucky, March 8, 2002. We go on.
Yeah, the first chapter.
Chapter 1. My early life, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11. I was a Christmas baby, well, almost a Christmas baby. I was born December 27, 1953. My parents tell me that my mom almost lost her life having me. It was a critical delivery, and I was born at home. Born in Kansas City, Missouri, in the home of hardworking parents, my dad started as a common laborer and worked his way up the ladder. He ultimately owned his own plumbing company. We always went to church from as early as I can remember. It never ceases to amaze me how memories of our early childhood seem as vivid as if they happened yesterday when we recall these events that happened in our young lives. I remember singing the songs like Amazing Grace, Farther Along, Victory in Jesus, and so on. These early memories of worship and teachings of Christ helped to shape my values later after I had turned away from Christ. I went through Christian school for elementary all the way except for 1 year of fourth grade, which was the most trying of my school years. I didn't realize how blessed I was to receive instruction at the hands of those who believed in Christ their Savior. Now I realize what a tremendous blessing and sacrifice it was for my parents who provided this for me. After high school, I did many things, different things to try to find my place in the world. I worked as a plumber, sculptor, painter, and sold real estate. At 20 years old, I met the love of my life, Rosette McCord, who had come to Kansas City to attend Bible college from Phoenix, Arizona. We met in January of 1974 and married in August of the same year. We attended church as a rule, but neither one of us had fully understood the grace of God. We had been in church as a place where some worked perfection and I got mercy and grace. So now on the run from God and got involved in the cult Unity, which is a New Age Eastern Mystic organization. Overall theology that you are your own redeemer. The organization also taught that all paths lead to God. My heart told me how wrong the teaching was when my wife and I were singing the choir at Christmas one year. One of the choir members verbally lashed out right in the church because the leadership had not continued to ask the Lamb, the homosexual organization, the church bulletin. Shortly after this experience, I knew I had to get out of this church. Really should not even call it a church at all because of the cultic practices in the church, which I would reveal in detail. God uses experience to show both my wife and me this great and awesome power of redemption through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now we understand that there is only one mediator, Jesus Christ, and no man or woman can come to the Father but through Christ. I was not fulfilled vocationally. Here I was selling real estate in one of the richest counties in the United States, Johnson County, Kansas. Found the need to reach out to others. I had not attended college, and I was 26 years old. I now had a six-year-old son. I announced to Rosette that I felt I should go back to college, get my bachelor's degree. Of course, her initial response was, how are we going to survive? Consequently, we both went back to college. While both working to support ourselves, the process of law hall, and I finished my degree at the University of Kansas. I had many social work-related jobs prior to getting my position with the state of Missouri. I worked with the state of Kansas. Family support. I also worked with emotionally disturbed adolescents. My wife was working with multi-handicapped children in the public school system. God was preparing us for our number one heartbreak of our lives, but much later, our only son would be diagnosed with a brain disease. It was fulfilling to be reaching out and helping others. Have you ever met someone who was totally other-centered rather than self-centered? Those people whom I have met even been an inspiration to me throughout my life. However, I discovered that regardless of how much you reach out to others, if there is not spiritual life, an individual often our work can seem fruitless. However, it's a great comfort to know that God says in His Word that He knows the plans He has for us that are, and they are good and not evil.
Thank you, Mark, for doing that.
Yes.
So, Mark has just completed the foreword and the first chapter of Phillips versus the State of Missouri. If anyone would like a copy of this book, if you'll email me, go to LarryWPhillips.com. I'll send you a PDF copy free of charge, or you can actually go to Lulu.com and order a paperback copy. And we'll continue this in Chapter 2 tomorrow. God bless.